Hello, and welcome to the triumphant return of I'm Trying to Think. I'm Chuck Werner. With me, as always, is Dave Stern.
Hello.
Listening to some world reggae music. Yeah.
Which it now does sound like. It started, just kind of sounded like drumline stuff, which was pretty great.
This is episode 52 of I'm Trying to Think. I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. You can find them at foundation-institute.org. And you can find us at imtryingtothink.com, facebook.com/imtryingtothink, twitter.com/imtryingtothink, imtryingtothink.com/imtryingtothink/flatface/twitter/com.
I think you lost the plot a little bit there.
This song, the opening song today, is L'Ombelico del Mondo by Jovanotti. That is Italian, Dave. Do you know what it means? L'Ombelico del Mondo?
I certainly don't.
All right, well, let's break it down. Ombelico, does that sound... I mean, that's a Latin language, you know, it's a romance language. Does that ombelico sound like anything to you?
I'm going to go with umbilical.
Yes, you are actually correct. And del mondo.
Of the world.
Navel of the World, Belly Button of the World is the title of that song.
All right, then.
Yeah.
I'll admit, I didn't choose that because I thought that was the correct answer.
No, I know, and that's what
I
made it
funny.
I chose
that because I thought it was the comedy dumb answer.
And that's what made it funny to me.
Because that it was
you
just,
thought you were being
it was
comedy
right.
dumb.
It was and just
meanwhile,
right.
you were being the straight man. Anyways, so Dave, it's been a little bit since
been,
you and I sat down and recorded.
Yeah.
Now,
I've
the,
been under
to the
some
listener,
things.
They may have just heard 51. And are now getting 52 right off the bat of 51.
Yeah, because that
thinking,
gap,
hey, you
that
guys
gap
really...
involved editing also. Because, again, I've been under some things. I moved, had a big project at work. Those things
was,
happened at approximately
released
the same
on,
week.
Released on July 4th, on July 10th?
Yes.
Something like that.
Ongoing.
Ongoing. Still being released.
But overall, you know, that has gone from being manic to being manageable. The move is basically done, except I still have a kind of a case of a bicycle car, which needs to get solved at some point.
A case of bicycle car?
Okay, specifically, here's how bicycle car goes, to explain that, because I realized that didn't really explain itself.
No, it did not.
So, the last thing in the whole sort of long process of clearing out Zelda's apartment, the very last step was to go into the basement and get her bike. You know, take the wheel off, put it, you know, fold down the seats in my back seat, and put it in the car. This was maybe, I don't know, a week and a half ago.
You still have a bike in your car?
Yes. Basically, what keeps happening is, it's like, I don't want to deal with that. Yeah, basically, what happened, you know, when we got it there was, you know, we were just exhausted. It was the end of the process. Like, I don't want to deal with that now. Then, you know, every time I go to the car... Which hasn't been that much, because I've mostly been working from home.
Yeah.
So it's not quite ridiculous, like I've been regularly commuting with it. But basically every, you know, couple times this past week and a half, you know, get into the car and was like, oh yeah, there's a bike in the back of this car instead of, like, seats and stuff. We should take care of that.
And 8 months.
We're going to do it. And then we kind of forget about it.
8 months.
It's not impossible.
8 months.
That's your bet?
I'm not saying that's my bet necessarily, but... we put stuff in our garage temporarily when we moved into this house. 8 months later, it is almost all out now.
True, and our entire apartment is certainly like that right now.
I still have parts of my house that are like that, yeah.
I mean, I am staring directly at a bunch of boxes.
Yeah, but those
I'll
are new
that.
Boxes.
True, but
that's
still.
That's a new box.
I was just saying that because it's true.
It is
and
true.
It's amusing.
That's a new box. The studio can handle some boxes. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's baffling.
It's not like it's used for
it's
anything
baffling.
Else.
It's
baffling. This
it's,
is the studio.
It's soundproofing, yeah.
It's only for studio work.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
only do studio things.
We podcast in here. We record your album.
Let me tell you, like, there are accusations floating around, okay? There are accusations floating around that I'm running a Minecraft server on the very same computer that we use for the show. Or, well, part of the show, right? It's a two-computer show.
It's a multi-computer operation.
50% of the
show... We're sophisticated.
...is on one computer. And there's been some rumors going around that I'm running a Minecraft server there. Not true. Not true, Dave. It's just not true.
Is that on the second, the other computer?
No, it's actually... Okay. It's true. I was so just lying. True.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible that the...
Wasn't sure where you're going.
The second computer is propped on a Dungeons & Dragons book to give us easier access to some of the wiring that we set up. That is also true. What I'm saying is the studio space is not really a studio space. We forced this role onto it.
It does all right.
We don't have a lot of alternatives.
Yeah. I mean, we talk here and then the podcast happens, so no real complaints with the space.
Yeah, and, nobody knows. Well, they do now.
It's not a dining room anymore, I can tell you that much.
It is not a dining room, which is where the show started.
Nor is it a bedroom.
Dining room to a bedroom, right? And now it is in a multi-purpose room.
Moving on up.
Yeah. Well, Dave, when we sell out, which is basically as soon as anybody offers us money, when we sell out, we will have a real studio. We could be on the satellite radio. Has that failed yet?
No, I don't think so. But
oh, that's a shame.
There's HD radio. We could be on an HD radio channel. That's fun.
Like on 100.5.75.3. I don't know.
We could be in the same place where, not to get so local that nobody understands it, but to do exactly that. We could be in the same place where DUQ banished all their jazz.
Jazz is bad. You're banished.
Although my favorite thing about that, and yeah, I just want ahead. To, because this is just fun corporate doublespeak.
All right.
That amuses me is, and I'll just fill the listener in on what's going on, is basically one of our, the town has kind of two public radio stations. There's
yes.
WYEP, which is basically the, you know, kind of music for, you know, kind of 30 to 50-somethings
who are
kind of cool.
Is YEP public?
Yeah.
Well, then don't we have three public radio stations?
Don't think so, no. I think
doesn't
it's just
QED
them.
Doesn't QED have a radio station, or do they not?
No, that is strictly just, you know...
They just have television.
One of the kings of television.
This
one of the
you,
kings of public
this
television.
This shows you how often I switch to the radio.
The radio, yeah. Then the other
did
one
they
is...
they have maybe an AM? Maybe they're hanging out on the AM?
It's not impossible.
Who knows? Everybody's on AM.
Anyhow. And then there's DUQ, which up until recently was mostly jazz and a couple, like, scattered, like, NPR news programs...
Yeah.
Then
that's
got,
why I never listened to that
then
one.
They got bought out. And
how do you buy a bought out?
With money.
But your public radio station.
Yeah, yeah. No,
do you get bought out by other public?
Yes, actually. Basically, Duquesne University sold them to a public radio conglomerate of some kind.
That doesn't even make sense, Dave.
Public radio.
How do you sell public radio? It's public.
Public doesn't mean quite what it, like... It's a little confusing. I'm not a radio industry insider.
Anyways.
I can't tell you. But the main point is that then
I don't know.
What
it
they
just
did,
sounds to me like it sounds to me like John Boehner selling the, you know, House of Representatives or the Senate to, you know, foreign investors.
Strained analogy, but I get where you're coming from. Anyhow, point is, people who bought it were like, "Hey, almost nobody likes jazz and everybody
That's
likes NPR
true.
News and talk programming." So, we will, you know, basically slaughter the jazz down from, like, most of it to 6 hours, and then we'll make it basically an NPR news, you know, newsy station.
Uh-huh.
Which is good, I think, because I don't care that much about the jazz.
I don't care about
but
jazz.
But then the fun doublespeak thing is, instead of being, like, just in a press release, like, we are slaughtering our jazz. You know, deal with it.
I don't know that you'd want to use the word slaughtering.
No,
we are
running roughshod over our jazz. Deal with it, you, like, 20 people who like jazz.
Okay.
What they said was... And we're expanding the jazz lineup from 100 hours to 170 hours on HD radio.
That's a good ploy. That works for me.
Yeah, I just like that bit of doublespeak. And I think I took like 5 minutes to talk about it,
which
it did not warrant.
Let's tell you, let's talk about something that also doesn't warrant 5 minutes of talk. The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Your first place Pittsburgh Pirates.
Not mine, Dave.
Your beloved first place Pittsburgh Pirates.
I beloved them when they were losing. They can't even keep a losing streak going. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, they did pretty good with that.
Bunch of losers.
And they could drop back. It's possible.
I know. It's only like halfway through the season. They could choke easily.
But right now, they are in
right now, they're
first
the most popular
place.
Thing in the world. City of Champions, baby.
Yeah, they will be there probably for another week or two until the football bargain is started. And then maybe training camp or some, or people talk about training camp.
No, people keep going until there's actual, like, football to replace it, but...
Right, right. It's good, this town needs a summer sport.
Nah. Arena football, man, that's what I was all about.
How are the Pittsburgh Power doing this year?
That's a good question.
So you're not about it that much.
It needs to be on television all the time at a specific time that I can watch it. Otherwise, it's not. I mean, that's true of all sports now. I can set up my whole week around when the Steelers game is, so I watch football. I don't know when the hell a Pirates game is.
Probably 7.
Do the Pirates know when the Pirates games are?
I don't know, because thanks to television contracts being hilarious and me, I have MLB TV, because I'm willing to pay money for that kind of thing, because I'm that kind of guy.
You are that guy.
But I don't have cable. So what that means, due to contracts being, you know, what they are and, like,
you can't watch
goofiness
the Pirates.
Is, I can watch any Major League Baseball.
If they're playing away, or you
no,
can't watch
no,
them at all.
I can watch any Major League Baseball team but the Pirates.
Amazing.
So, yeah, they're in first. They've got young, exciting players. They're scrapping.
And they're, like,
they're scrapping.
4 wins above 500 or something like that, which is ridiculous to me.
They're playing in a weak division.
That's what constitutes
weak
first
division.
Place.
I mean, the NL Central this year, I mean, it's not the NFC West, but it's not good.
Anyways, that doesn't merit 5 minutes of talk, so let's stop right there. All right, so Dave.
Then we'll keep tabs on that situation as it develops.
Because
we are probably your foremost... I mean, I'm just guessing. I haven't dipped deep into sports podcasts, but just on the basis that we've talked about them twice... I'm in our 50-episode run. We've mentioned them twice.
Yeah.
Once at length, even. I believe that was in episode 13, Slaves and Mercenaries. Check it out. That was a fun one. I'm back promoting.
Wow. And you just pulled that out of your butt.
Yeah. No, it's cause
did you look it up?
No, it's because the title is a joke about baseball.
It's true.
So I had it.
Oh.
It's all
but
in the encyclopedia.
But you remember that it was episode 13.
Yeah, that's just
I
random.
I couldn't remember that.
It might be 14, but I know it's in that range.
Episode 12 to 16, somewhere in
I
there.
I felt very confident. But anyhow, as I was saying, since we've mentioned the Pirates twice in 2 separate episodes of our 52, I think we might be the internet's foremost place for Pirates talk.
The internet's foremost place for Pirates talk.
Yep.
Yeah, that's very much it.
I'm trying to think. Andrew McCutchen. Andrew McCutchen. He's very good.
I don't know who that is.
He's a Pirates center fielder. He's very good.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he's probably going to hit.
Is he good at hitting things then? Because the center fielder is, like, that
he's,
doesn't mean you're great
good
at catching things.
No, it should. If
well,
you're a good
I mean,
center fielder.
You're adequate at catching things because catching is not really complicated.
You've never seen a bad center fielder. It can get tricky.
I'm sure I've seen a bad center fielder.
It can get tricky if you... That's true. If you've been watching any baseball over the past decade, it's been the Pirates. So you've seen some bad center fielders. For example, I will say even Nate McClouth, the guy who was there before Andrew McCutchen, who everyone was angry about being traded because they didn't realize that they had Andrew McCutchen, who's way fucking better, is he could hit. He was not a good defensive center fielder. Did not have the range. Bit of a butcher.
So he's flabby.
Yeah, flabby. Carried a cleaver around all the time.
That's good. I mean, sometimes the left field, the
smock
left fielder
covered in blood.
Sometimes the left fielder needs chops. You know, like needs some pork chops, some tenderloin. You know, tenderloin is a phrase that you use when you're buying meat. But that's not a phrase that you want to use in common conversation to describe any parts of anybody's body. Nice tenderloins.
That's
not good.
No.
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 And
sounds like it could maybe be a sports injury.
Just keeping
like McCutchen is out with a tenderloin.
Pulled his tenderloin.
No, no. But, he has a tenderloin.
Well, yeah.
Can't go in.
But that sounds sexy. I don't know. That's not good. The second point I was going to make is that how huge of kind of like asshole dorks would we be if we could actually like. Name the episode number and title of various times that we've said various things.
That would be
like
pretty up there.
It is okay if a fan got to that level.
Because that's the job of fans.
That's fandom.
That's what fans do.
But if we knew that much, it would be wrong. It's kind of like if I went to a Star Trek convention and I asked Patrick Stewart, like, some obscure detail about the Enterprise, and then he knew it, and he knew a lot of other information to support that, and then, like, he pushed his glasses up and his voice got nasally or something. I mean, that would be, like, wrong. You don't want the actors, the performers, to know more about the material.
No, they should be busy creating.
Yeah, they should be busy making. That's what we do. We create.
And being... See, they should be a little above remembering what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Remembering is for other people. Definitely. Creative types don't remember. And that's how we know that we are very creative, producing a high-quality podcast. I don't remember a goddamn thing we said on the show. Something about Aristotle. We didn't know anything about Aristotle. And then I think we cleared that up, but I still don't know anything about Aristotle.
Yeah, it's just bits and pieces. Like, I've got snatches and memories and,
You've got snatches, Dave?
Yeah, I got bits and pieces.
I think you want to say, like, snapshots. I don't think you want to say I've got snatches.
I'm sticking with it.
Are you a 1970s street pimp?
I got snatches. I'm doubling down.
I cannot continue this conversation. All right.
Then let's take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. And we'll be back in a moment with more I'm Trying to Think. And welcome back to episode 52 of I'm Trying to Think. Dave!
Chuck.
That was Your Love by The Outfield. Now, Dave, I don't know how you feel about this. I'm just going to put this out there. It's my opinion. But if someone says to me, I just want to use your love tonight, then they are probably losing my love tonight.
Yeah, if I was the outfield, I'd have rephrased that. But also, if I was the outfield, I would be in, you know, kind of a real sort of C plus C version of the Cars.
Yeah, so, and then I would C minus.
That song's catchy.
One song. The Cars have dozens of songs. Are you disagreeing?
No, that's all fair. Right,
there you go. Yeah, I just don't think use is a good word to put in the same sentence as love. They're kind of opposites.
That song doesn't really seem to know what it's trying to convey. Yeah, it seems at odds with itself.
I don't really know. I don't think I know any more lyrics to that song. Except, I don't want to lose your love. I don't want to use your love. I just want to use your love.
There's the other classy thing which you generally don't want to say to a lady you're singing to whose love you don't want to lose, which is, I usually like older women. There's that part.
Yeah.
That's not the way to go.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I'd like to say. You know, I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Oh, okay. So it's just a one-night stand, my wife is out of town song. Okay.
But what is that? That still doesn't, I don't want to lose your love tonight, doesn't make sense then in that context. No, it means
I want to use your love tonight. And for the duration of tonight, I don't want to lose it.
Oh, see, so my phrasing is how you took it, but I don't necessarily take it that way. Like, I don't want to lose your love tonight. Tomorrow is fine. I ain't got many friends left to talk to. No one's around when I'm in trouble. You know, I'd do anything for you. Stay the night. We'll keep it undercover. I just want to use your love
tonight. It's a fucking around on your wife song.
I don't want to lose your love tonight. But I'd do anything for you.
It's a mixed message fucking around on your wife's song. Well, because as I understand, I'm not an adulterer who tries to seduce underage, young, whatever, women.
Younger or something, yeah.
But my understanding of that world.
I like my girls a little bit
world,
older kind of implies that this girl's pretty damn young.
Yeah.
This is maybe a babysitter fucking song.
Yeah. And like I said, I've not been a part of that world. My understanding of that world is sending out a lot of mixed messages. Is key.
It's probably key. It is probably key. Yeah, because you can't have them really understanding your intentions. So maybe you don't want to say, I just want to use your love tonight. Maybe leave that line out. Try to stop my hands from shaking. Something in my mind's not making sense. It's been a while since we've been all alone. I can't hide the way I'm feeling. Dude, maybe don't wear tight jeans. That's all I'm saying. Then you can hide the way you're feeling. I'm just saying.
I don't know. The problem is, if it's the 80s, I don't think you can avoid the tight jeans.
As you leave me, please, would you close the door and forget what I told you? Just because you're right, that don't mean I'm wrong. Another shoulder to cry upon. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight. Yeah. So there, I don't know. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's something about having sex with a babysitter.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Let's say that's what it's about.
That sounds about right.
Dave, you had a topic. Let's move on to the topic that you have. Bring it.
I do. We could go in one or two directions in this. We could go a little more cultural, a little more philosophical.
We could do both at the same time. I'm that good.
Okay, sure. We'll start, you know, we'll start bringing it highbrow. Why not? Then we'll go low. You take the high road, and then you take the low, and something happens in the morning. I don't know the words to that song very well.
Actually, can I take I was just thinking about this yesterday.
Uh-huh.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
Right.
I don't really think that's how it works.
No.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have all, because assuming all falls into
because
good or bad.
Because it's a distinct category.
Accepting that neutral is not an option.
Yeah. I mean, assuming
but I don't
this
think
is,
that's the facts of life.
I mean, if there's one thing we know from any episode of that show is it was pretty Manichaean. So you take the good, you take the bad, that's everything, right? So we take it so far. So you take them both, it's everything.
Right.
And there you have the facts of life, which you do because they're part of everything.
Yeah, you have the facts of life. You have a lot of other things.
Yeah.
But the facts of life
they
are
never
a subset.
Said you don't have a bunch of
that
other
is
crap,
true.
Too.
They did not say you only have the facts of life.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right.
Okay, and that
moving
concludes
on.
Our
go ahead. Yes.
Chuck sort
sorry
of dramatically state song lyrics
sorry about
portion
that.
of this segment.
Yeah.
Man, did I just go with a portion of a segment?
That was a portion of a segment, yeah.
Unnecessary.
Nah, whatever.
I didn't need to chop at that finally.
In the high school halls. In the shopping malls.
What?
That's Subdivisions, the Rush song.
Oh. God, that makes a lot of sense to be a Rush song. Like, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the song.
You're not familiar with Subdivisions? In the high school halls. Subdivisions. In the shopping.
Man.
Be cool or be cast out.
God, that makes so much sense that's a Rush song.
Yeah, it's a very Rush song. I guess, as songs go, it's one of the rushier.
It's not quite as rushy as Free Will, which I think is the rushiest.
Yeah.
That may be the rushiest.
The Trees is pretty.
That sounds very rushy.
Yeah.
Okay. Digression.
Right.
So.
Digression is the better part of valor.
Yes, that's how it goes. You need to know when to fight and when to kind of talk for a couple minutes on a nonsense, unrelated point.
Yes.
That's what Kenny Rogers taught us in The Gambler.
On a train bound for nowhere. There was a lot of digression. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how the
man, I
the
think you just goes. You really just summed up our podcast in two lines right
yes.
there.
It's,
I mean, I knew we
Kenny
digressed
Rogers
a lot.
The Gambler, but you know,
I really hadn't thought about how it's a train bound
it's
for nowhere.
A train bound for nowhere, but that's okay. Why does a train have to go somewhere, Dave?
I think because it's on tracks. I think it's because it's on tracks, Chuck.
The whole concept of a train bound for nowhere makes no sense. It has to go somewhere.
It's
the
tracks.
Whole way a train works. It can only follow the tracks. It is bound for somewhere. Sorry, Kenny Rogers, but that is right out.
I'd like to see what condition his condition's in after he hears that fact.
His condition some
is
knowledge
burned.
On him.
His condition is burned.
Subdivisions, Dave. Right. So anyways.
Okay, yeah. Definitely Rush.
That's definitely
Rush. You know what? I didn't disbelieve you once. I had no idea
I thought maybe that would jog your memory.
No. It's just not a Rush song I know.
You're still
but once
lost.
You started saying it and I was like, what the hell are you doing? Then you said it's a Rush song. It was like, well, that makes perfect sense.
It sounded Rushes. Rush, just Russian?
Yeah.
All right.
It was Rusky.
Let's go. It's Rusky.
Okay. Anyhow.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
It's been, I think, since we recorded, it's been about a month.
It's been a while.
So you are one month closer to having a baby.
I'm about 10 weeks
out. A baby.
I'm
in
not
your
having
life.
It,
yeah.
But there's a baby.
You're not doing the grunt work.
I'm not doing the literal grunt work. Well, I did some literal grunt work, but that was a while ago.
Oh, was that when you were in a class?
I was being crude.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about, like, doing a Lamaze class.
Nope.
No, you're talking about doing sex.
Being crude.
Dave. Doing sex. I didn't need to know
that. That's how they phrase it these days. That's how, what the kids are calling
it. Yeah, the kids love doing sex.
Kids love doing sex. Anyways, so I had a question.
There's this baby incoming, right?
Yep.
And I know one of your big, you know, sort of philosophical passions in life.
Yes.
Is morality.
It is.
Right? You know, just morals and ethics and yep. moral systems and, you know, just figuring all that stuff out and figuring out how to live.
Yep.
So, my question to you is, in, you know, about 10 weeks, you know, give or take, you are going to have this thing, which it is your job to turn into a member of society.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Takes a village, Dave.
So what's your game plan? I mean, you know, you're a big morality thinker.
Yeah.
You know? How's this going?
Okay.
Do you think baby's ready for first principles, or is that going to have to wait?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that you can't possibly plan it. Let's turn on the serious music for a moment here, Dave.
Is it Subdivisions?
Subdivisions, okay. All right. This is a serious moment, Dave. You're screwing it up. It's a serious moment. All right. You can't really do anything about it. You can't plan it out, man. You just have to. You're going to have to take it one day at a time. La da da da. One day at a time. So up on your feet. There's music. Okay, no, sorry. I was doing the reciting lyrics thing again. Anyways, I actually don't know if those are the words to one day at a time. But anyways, no. All right. So you don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not planning, like, how I'm going to handle everything or how I'm going to teach the kid anything. Because I think you have to kind of gauge by what's going on. And I think morality is a weird thing where you can try and make it a self-evident necessity of life, or you can try and force it on people as just a set of rules that they have to follow regardless. And I think the latter is obviously better.
I mean, for kids or in general?
In general.
What are you saying?
In general.
Really? Set of rules?
No.
Oh, because you said set of rules.
I said latter?
You said latter.
All right, no. I said the former is better in general, but the latter is probably more
How it works with children.
How it works, period, with a lot of other people. I think if you ask the average person, you know, why don't you murder people, they're just like, it's wrong. And then you're like, okay, well, why? And then they're like, I don't know, why don't I punch you in the mouth, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My thought about that is, essentially, you know, when we first learn morality, it is essentially, you know, you learn.
It's rote. It's rote learning.
It's rote. You learn it. Basically, you learn rules, and you know it's basically the usually conventional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically just conventional wisdom, morality that you learn by rote, and that gets you about, you know, I would say in life somewhere between 50 to 80% of what you need.
Yeah, I think it can, and but it also gets you the rejection of those notions. And, I mean, I think that's a difficult proposition regardless. When you reach your teenage years and that your concept that adults are not correct, that they are full of bullshit, and that you are able to strike out on your own and create your own realities, that sort of thing, that sort of actual immediate grasping of the postmodern that comes with teenage angst. Wow, that was deep. Anyways, the point is that if you're just taught rote your whole life and you have no reasoning behind your morality, when it comes time to
make
your own decisions, you are very likely to reject the notions that you are given as rote rules of just this is the way society is. On the other hand, I think my parents and my family in general did a very good job of being circumspect in teaching me the reasons why there were these rules to follow and why I should do X and not Y and stuff like that, right? But as a teenager, I was still ruthless, amoral, bastard.
I mean, that's the teenage thing.
Yeah, in some way. Yeah. I mean, that's just something that happens. But this is all boring shit. So let's get to an interesting thing about all this, right?
All right.
Obviously, I'm an atheist. I'm not going to teach my kids about God, right? I'm going to teach them about God. I'm going to teach about all the gods, and they're going to realize.
Yeah, here it is.
This is all, you know. Okay, so there's no difference between Yahweh and ISIS or, you know, Thor or anything else.
I don't know. Only one of them has the head of an ibis. Only one of them has a cool hammer. And only two of them have sweet beards.
Does Yahweh have the head of an ibis? Because I don't think ISIS does.
Am I getting ISIS mixed up with Thoth?
Thoth.
Boy, is my face red.
I think she just has lady head. Anyways.
I don't know. That doesn't sound Egyptian to me. Lady head.
A lady head. An ibis isn't Thoth. Thoth has something else head. I don't know. Anyways, this isn't an Egyptology podcast.
Anubis.
So, I tell people...
Amon Re.
Amongst those things that I will be telling my children is the fact that Santa Claus is not real.
Mummies.
And people freak out. Even atheists freak out. And that is hilarious to me. People who have don't believe in God at all, reject the whole notion, make fun of organized religion, are like, what? And it's just, to me, it's like, why would I? Why would you tell your kids that something is real that isn't?
Because it's fun.
Yeah, it's not fun
in my
book. It
would be the answer.
Yeah, but that's not fun. Like, where's the fun? Who's the fun in deception, you know? And people...
Well, I think the theory behind
kids,
it...
People give kids...
I'll let you finish.
People give kids no credit, and they're really shitty to children in their attitudes about them. They're like, Santa Claus is fine. I mean, kids have imaginary friends. Kids understand that their imaginary friends are imaginary. You're not going to find a kid who will tell you that his friend Bob, who's imaginary, is the same as... You know, mommy and daddy who are really there. You know, understand
some kids
these
are
concepts.
Crazy. Some kids are crazy.
Yeah, they have very vivid imaginations, blah, blah, blah. They understand the difference. If they did not understand the difference, they would be like, okay, well, Bob is here with me right now. Also, you know, Uncle Joe and Aunt, I don't know, lady's name. I can't come up with a lady's name right now.
Man, what happened to that imagination, Chuck?
It's destroyed. Aunt Isis. Uncle Thor and Aunt Isis are here, too. Like, they would say, oh, real people are also here with me, and my imaginary friend is here with me.
Also,
you know, they
those
would,
real people have a mighty hammer.
You would see a confusion.
And the head of an ibis.
You would see a confusion in their ability to distinguish imaginary friends from real friends.
Segment.
So, they obviously understand the difference, and we cheat them on giving them credit for... simultaneously having the ability to conceptualize and treat imaginary concepts as if they're real and hold understanding of what reality truly is. Now, they are ignorant of the world and the meaning of that word, meaning that they do not have knowledge.
Yeah, they're literally
things.
And precisely ignorant.
But so are adults. And just because a kid doesn't really know if a unicorn is a real thing or a fake thing because they have books with unicorns in them and then they have books with dinosaurs in them and they don't know. Some kids might get confused about what is real along those lines and what isn't.
And they've seen a horse. They can picture
they
a
can
horn.
They can conceptualize.
Why not?
But yes, but they can understand the difference too. Just because one kid might be confused, not all kids are. Other kids are perfectly capable of understanding that dinosaurs were once real, unicorns are not, horses are real, blah, blah, blah. It is what you tell them and the good information that they get from good sources that will inform them. If you tell them a bunch of bullshit, then guess what they're going to know? A bunch of bullshit. So to me, it's just, it's crude and jerky to teach a kid that Santa Claus is real.
Yeah, that's fair, and that's an argument I can see. I'll admit, the whole Santa Claus argument is something I'm... largely outside. Grew up, you know, Jewish. I think I thought that there was a Santa Claus at some point, just because it's in the culture.
Yeah, I mean, how did that work for you? So Santa Claus didn't ever deliver presents, right?
No.
So you grew up in a culture where Santa Claus is real to everyone else.
I think at some point it may have said, I don't remember. Because it was never important.
Yeah, that's a part of it, too. You're not going to remember if it's not important.
Yeah, mentioned it just
because, yeah. And, I know plenty of...
I know I sat on Santa's lap at least one point for no particularly good reason.
That's interesting, yeah.
And it's just because, we were at, Storyland or Christmas. Because it's a cheap theme park,
Yeah.
Cheap theme park.
And I know people who have raised their kids and telling them that Santa Claus is not real, but...
I did actually ask Santa if he gives presents to Jewish kids. And I'll tell you, that was outside of theme park Santa's epistemology. He was not 100% sure what to say. I think he just went with yes, because, I think the ethos of, mall and theme park Santa's above all others is don't make this, small, weird thing that is on your lap start to cry.
Well,
and say whatever it will take for that to
that
not
seems
happen.
That seems like a ask your mommy and daddy question.
Yeah, that's
mommy
the other thing.
Mommy and daddy will clarify that for you. That's not Santa's job to decide. You gotta get them to get you on the list. There's a list. There's a whole process. You gotta register. It's too late for this year anyways. Don't worry about it.
I think you would have been a more agile theme park Santa than the one I got.
If you file form 137/R, then you can get double presents next year, but this year we're skipping you.
Oh, sad bureaucrat Santa.
Anyways, you gotta obviously tell the kid, don't be a jerk and tell all the other kids that Santa isn't real. They're... parents, and they're playing a game, and don't ruin the game for them, and whatever. You just gotta raise your kid right, God forbid. And even then, their peers will fuck them up more than you ever could help them.
Yeah, because that's who they'll listen to.
Yeah.
Their stupid, ignorant,
their
child
stupid,
peers.
Ignorant peers. Who will lead them astray and teach them that they're not worth anything. Yep.
Kids.
Parents, do a great job. Doesn't matter. You're screwed. So, yeah, I'm going to homeschool my kid. Keep them away from all outside influences. They're going to interact with robots and VRs. That's it.
Uh-huh.
A holodeck. I'm building a holodeck.
Sounds good.
No, it's not good, because Moriarty's going to come out of that shit.
That's how that goes.
I actually kind of half wrote a song, a little bit of an indie kind of folk song about the holodeck and Moriarty.
Okay, I think there's a problem here, because once you say folk song and about the holodeck, you've officially entered a dark and dangerous territory, which has a name, and that name is Filk.
Oh, yeah.
You're filking now.
Not really, because I don't really write music. I wrote the song in my head, I have a tune in my head.
You're a brain filker.
Yeah, I'm a brain filker, but...
I don't know.
This is more, about...
You're gazing into a dark door
filking.
Of specialized nerdery.
Isn't filking done from inside the universe itself?
No, I don't know. It's
I thought
a
it was
fan
like kind of
nerd
like,
thing.
I thought it was like kind of fan fiction.
It's fan fiction with guitars.
As a song, right. So you would write the song as if you were in the Star Trek world.
I don't think you have to, no.
You know? Okay, because this was more of a metaphor.
Know.
The song was
I'm
a metaphor.
I'm not a filking expert.
The song was a metaphor, Dave. The lyrics are metaphorical. They refer to the holodeck malfunctioning. As a person's kind of their mind getting out of control because they're possessed with the love of a woman. Do you understand that concept, Dave?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold the phone.
Okay.
And stop the presses.
I stopped them.
Are you trying to say that you would use science fictional concepts to show us our own thoughts and desires as a sort of metaphorical reflection of modern life?
Yeah.
That'll never work.
I don't know
that
what I was
thinking.
That will
never work.
Yeah. What would... How could you do that? How could you do a metaphor where it was in the future or an alternate reality or even in the past where it was a metaphor for modern life? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. That sounds pretty stupid.
It's far-fetched at best. All right, Dave, does that answer your baby question then? I'm kind of going to go with the flow. Whatever I need to do, I'll do.
Yeah, that works for me.
All right. I'm going to be an awesome dad. My dad is an awesome dad. Okay, anyways. Did you have another question, or was it just that one?
Another baby question. This is something I've always felt like I have an opinion that's like, it was at one point stronger than it needed to be because I had nothing to do with babies in any capacity. And I still believe it somewhat. The subdivisions again.
Yes.
It's very, very low very low volume. It's kind of subliminal.
Trying to bring you into a serious moment there with subdivisions. Okay.
So my question is, basically, stuff you're going to put on your baby.
Uh-huh.
Stuff you're going to...
Like clothes, you mean? Or yeah. Just, or tattoos, or...
Clothes.
Henna, I mean.
Clothes, tattoos.
Body art.
Whatever. Probably mostly tattoos.
Yeah, I was just going to give them tattoos and they don't have to wear clothes.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Yeah, it takes out the function of clothes entirely.
Yeah. What do you need them for, then?
Yeah.
But anyhow, one thing I've always felt a little uncomfortable with is, like, putting cool stuff on a baby.
Putting cool stuff on a baby. Like, giving them Nike shoes?
Or, like you know, little, like, Ramones jumper. Stuff like that.
There's definitely a Led Zeppelin onesie on our baby wish list.
Uh-huh.
And I don't feel bad about it. I don't feel bad about that at all. You know, like, they're little nerd shirts. I don't know if we got the level one or level zero human or
right.
something shirt.
Right, it's like all that kind of thing.
Yeah, we're going to get them nerd shirts and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's cute, Dave. You got to cute them up.
It's totally cute. And
but
me,
I'm not giving
them
anything non-functional. Like, my baby ain't going to have no Nike shoes.
Right.
When they're, like, you know.
When they're not walking.
Not walking.
When they don't so much need shoes on account of they don't walk anymore.
Yeah, there's not going to be any of that. There's not going to be any, you know, bling on my child. They're basically going to be functional things on them that may have fun nerd or pop culture references on them.
Yeah, I still, I don't know. I'm not, for me with that, as you can tell by just, like, the look on my face while I'm trying to talk about this and I'm trying to think, there's conflict.
You think, like, child wears standard generic white onesie and Lucite sandals.
No, basically,
it's like
I think
the future.
I think all kids should look like in THX 138 or Logan's Run or something.
Do you
something.
Think?
But no,
do you think kids on the Enterprise
had a little?
Do you think they had a little like red shirt onesie? You know?
Oh, that would be cute. Yeah. See, because that's where my
I just swayed you with the red shirt.
No, because here's the thing. That's where my opinion has compromised. You know, knowing people with babies, I still think. The idea of, like, broad, just taking your own taste and, like, slapping it on this thing which clearly can't have taste in a meaningful way yet, you know, like, just sort of as a billboard for kind of reflecting you. Like, on one hand, that still bothers me on a certain level. But on the other hand, if it's cute, fuck it. That's what I've gotten to.
Here's a philosophical...
The cute goes over. The cute overrides.
Here's a philosophical truth. I am a reflection of my parents, and especially when I was young, I was a reflection of their interests, beliefs, etc. It actually, you know, not overt, it actually very, very subtly kind of affected me. Like, I can see... There is skepticism in my parents and scientific thinking in my parents. But my parents are not skeptics and they are not scientists. But those two things passed to me from them. There's no way that my kid is going to avoid being exposed to atheism, to naturalism, to free right. thought and stuff like that.
Are you
going to
get any sweet naturalist onesies?
Yeah, I guess. I don't really know what that would look like. But anyways... Ooh. There's no such thing as the supernatural. That would be the only... I mean, that's the only thing that naturalism really consists of. But anyways.
That'd be pretty cute on a onesie.
That would be pretty cute on a onesie.
Oh, man. And have like a little plushy microscope.
Unlike,
little plush microscope.
Unlike your Richard Dawkins, okay? He has an opinion that the children who are raised as a Catholic child or a Muslim child or whatever, that's like tantamount to child abuse. And that, you know, they don't have their beliefs formed, blah, 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 blah. Now, I obviously do not believe that, for instance, atheism is an analog of a religion. It's not in any way. But by the same token, I don't think that you have any choice as an adult but to raise your child with the values you think are correct, no matter how messed up they might be to other people. Now, obviously, the culture you live in and the generally accepted practices of that culture should probably influence your decision in how you raise the child. At the very least, to prepare them for that, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't think...
If you don't submit to those, then...
But you would be paralyzed to tell your child anything if you are a person who said, I don't want to instill beliefs in my child, I want them to form them for themselves. that's, you're paralyzed.
That's also, that is, I think, instilling beliefs in a child is literally your what you do as a parent.
And so, when my child can understand language, that's how you do anything. So when they're like 2 or 3 years old, right? Child. Am I supposed to not tell them that Led Zeppelin is the greatest rock band of all time? I mean, am I supposed to just to glaze over that and tell them, you'll have to form your own opinions about the, what the greatest rock band of all time is?
I'm saying you can pump cashmere
down their throats until they can't take it anymore.
I don't know. I think the only ethical thing to do is, you know, you give them, like, I don't know, Zeppelin 2. You give them Exile on Main Street. You give them Revolver. You let them make choices.
I don't think
then,
so.
Then they'll probably choose the Wiggles. Because kids are dumb.
Yeah, they are. So, I mean, I just think that that's inevitable. So you just do the best by your child that you think you can. And I'm not going to tell people that instilling at least commonly held beliefs is child abuse. If you teach a kid that red is blue and blue is black and up is down, left is right, that is child abuse. So that's a different thing. But therein, you're not really teaching them what you believe, but rather you're teaching them shit as a joke. And that's not right, Dave.
What if you believe it, though?
That's what I'm saying.
What if you're very dumb?
Well, or very crazy. I mean, I don't think those people usually get to keep their children. And there's probably a good reason for that. Oh, now I made it.
You made it sad.
Oh, I made it sad.
Why'd you make it sad?
I took it to sad.
I'm trying to think.
I can...
The fun, jokey podcast where we talk about how crazy people's children get ripped out of their crazy arms.
I'm bringing it back up. Okay. All right, Dave.
Oh, goodness.
Let's take one last break. We'll come back and we'll wrap this all up.
Absolutely.
All right. Then we will be back with a bit more of episode 52 of I'm Trying to Think. All down the street, standing in line, with white lipstick, one thing on their mind. Hey, little freak with the lunch pail purse, underneath the paint, you're just a little girl, dancing at the zombie zoo. And welcome back to episode 52 of I'm Trying to Think, Dave.
You just keep on finding slightly new ways to say that, don't you? You're keeping it fresh.
You gotta keep it fresh. That was Zombie Zoo. A little bit of consonance there with Tom Petty. Tom Petty taking a little stab at the goths, Dave.
For some reason.
For some reason. Just stabbing at the goths. I mean, this album is very old. That's in the 90s or something, so... He's stabbing at old goths, but, you know.
Well, 90s isn't old goths. I mean, if you're stabbing at old goths, that would have been old early Tom Petty, because he's stabbing at, like, second wave. He's, what? I don't know.
Like, a first wave goth stabbing at second wave goths?
I don't think he's not a first wave goth. I mean, he's a contemporary of Susie Sue, but he wasn't, I don't think he was playing goth music at the time.
Yeah, but, Dave, let's look at the video for Don't Come Around Here No More. You got a Mad Hatter, Alice in Wonderland. That's a little gothy.
Yeah, decades before Tim Burton, he was dipping his toes in those waters. Clearly.
Well, Tim Burton was developing stuff at that time, but
decades before he glommed onto the gothy Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. I mean, but
and gothed it around.
He only gothed a little bit, but he gothed it.
Well, he Burtoned it more than
he Burtoned it, which is different. It's a there are Burton goths, but not all goths are Burtons. But also,
not all Burtons are goths, but.
Mary Jane's Last Dance. Dancing with a Dead Girl. Come on, that's pretty goth.
It's pretty goth. And still Alice in Wonderland-y. So it's both of those things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Don't Come Around Here No More is it's a weird
Is that the one where they're eating the Tom Petty cake and it's
no,
creepy?
No,
it's
singing the Alice cake.
Oh, they're eating the lady cake.
Tom
Petty's the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, yeah. That's like it's kind of a new wave song.
Yeah, it's got that whole thing to it.
It was actually... co-written by Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics.
Huh.
Yeah.
Those are two musicians I would have not have really pictured hanging out and songwriting for each other.
But it makes sense, I think. Even if... it makes sense.
I know, to me,
like,
it
even just listening to
doesn't
the,
make sense in the... I mean, it makes sense
well, like, listen
when you
just
hear
the
song.
Of the song, yeah. Like, that is some... That's some Eurythmics drums right there.
Totally.
Yeah. Then, wait... synth sitar, Dave. I need one of those. Anyways, yeah, so there's definitely some new wave in there, which is kind of neat for a Tom Petty song.
I mean, I guess the way that it makes sense to me is, like, it doesn't make sense that it's, like, Tom Petty would collaborate with a Eurythmic. Like, that on the face of it doesn't make that much sense. But the way that you kind of reconcile it is, like, eventually, like, in terms of caring about those sort of genre boundaries and things like that, musicians, like, when you really look and pay attention, care about that infinitely less than fans of
music. But, I mean, I like that.
Yeah, so they're just like, you know, they're contemporaries.
I like to think about it. I like to talk about it.
So it's like they're contemporaries. You know, they meet each other at some weird party they're at, and then why wouldn't they collaborate?
Actually, speaking of weird parties, Dave, let me tell you the story behind the Don't Come Around Here No More, the song, according to Wikipedia.
Right.
All
right? Listening. Ready to go.
The original inspiration was a romantic encounter that David Stewart, of the Eurythmics, had with Stevie Nicks of Fleetwood Mac.
All right, first part of this story that I find suspect already.
Yes.
I find it really hard to believe that anyone in the Eurythmics was a heterosexual.
Well, there's... Just let me continue. On the Howard Stern show, Dave Stewart explained that the title's phrase was actually uttered by Stevie. She had broken up with Joe Walsh the night before and invited Dave Stewart...
That is Eagles...
Eagles Joe Walsh.
Eagles non-drummer, because that's Don Henley. Eagles guy,
Joe Walsh. The only one who I really like, actually, period, you know, of the Eagles. She had broken up with Joe Walsh the night before and invited Dave Stewart to her place for a party after an early Eurythmics show in Los Angeles. So much going on in this story. Dave didn't know who she was at the time, but went anyway. When the partygoers all disappeared to a bathroom for a couple hours to snort cocaine, he decided to go upstairs to bed. He woke up at 5 a.m. to find Stevie Nicks in his room trying on Victorian clothing and described the entire scenario as very much reminiscent of Alice in Wonderland. Later that morning, she told Walsh, "Don't come around here no more."
See, there's a couple things I like about that story.
It's a great story.
But for me, I think the top thing about it is that it's like a ridiculous, stupid rock and roll story, but then the actual part that inspires like a song title is incredibly prosaic and not germane to any of the story that happened before it. It's basically just like, there's a crazy rock and roll party, and Stevie Nicks is there, and you know, and I'm in her room, and blah, blah, blah. And then she said, "Don't come around here no more." Like,
it is just kind of an
add-on. Nothing
there
to do with anything.
At all. Don't come around here no more.
And also, just the whole story really just sounds like someone as a joke is like trying to make up a rock and roll story. You know, it's just, it hits so many notes. So many notes.
There's a lot going on there, but you got to figure that.
Also, what size party and where is it located? Where the entire party can disappear into the bathroom for a couple hours to do cocaine. Also, that seems like a long time. Like, I'm not a doing coke in the bathroom expert, and I suppose if an entire party is doing it, then there would be a line, and you know, you'd have to wait, and there'd be a queue, and it could take a few hours. But I feel like the whole bathroom coke at a party thing is like, you go in the bathroom, you do the coke, then you come out back to the party, and they're like, "Moo!"
I don't think I would want to be in a room with a bunch of people who did coke, who were doing coke, and then continue to be stuck in that room with them. Like, especially not a bathroom. But, I mean, it might have just been like a 3-5-person party, you know. It might have been very small.
It may have been more of a gathering.
Everybody has a different definition of what party is, and so I'm not going to be judgmental.
That's fair. You can't be too judgmental with a story like that, can you?
All right, Dave. Before we close out, you have to make a decision. The debate is raging. And
fine.
Everyone needs to know your position. I have already come out clearly on this issue. Now, I need you to say your piece. Uncle Albert or Admiral Halsey? I'll give you a little taste, all right?
Fine.
This is Uncle Albert. That's Uncle Albert. All right. This is Admiral Halsey. Okay. Uncle Albert. Admiral Halsey. Uncle Albert. Admiral Halsey. All right. I've come out clearly in favor of Admiral Halsey. Where do you stand?
Well, there's... This, I think, really shows... Remind me, are those both on the same McCartney album?
This is the same song. The right, song is Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey.
So, yes.
From, I don't know what album it's from.
It's been a long time since...
It's been a long time since I rock and rolled.
Rock and rolled, and also remembered that Uncle Admiral and Albert Halsey...
Uncle Admiral Halsey. Well, like I don't know if it's a Wings greatest. If it's a Wings thing or if it's
a solo McCartney thing. I call him McCart.
You call him
because we're close.
You're like that. That's good.
Yeah.
It like you got it P. appears. McCart. I know it appears on a
P. McCart.
Thank
Rings. And then the dead guys who I never got to hang with.
Rings. Because his nickname isn't enough. That's still too familiar for
no,
you.
I need to give his nickname nicknames. Yeah.
It's a song by Paul and Linda McCartney from the album Ram. So
okay,
that
recently
would be
reissued. Recently reissued.
Yeah, and that would be
Buy it now on Polydor Records. I don't think that's a real company. I think that's the company in Spinal Tap.
Ram is Paul McCartney, Linda McCartney. So I guess that's technically a Paul Linda song.
Well, if it's Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney, then believe you me, it's a Paul McCartney solo album. Linda wasn't good at music.
I like that they all felt the need to invite their girlfriends along for the ride. Yeah, except fine. Ringo. Ringo kept playing it solo.
Is George Harrison?
Yeah, I think. Didn't he have some? He had some chickadee.
I don't know. The only thing I remember about her is that Eric Clapton couldn't fuck her. And was very concerned about that. And then he wrote all those the Dominoes songs.
Yeah. Wait. I'm trying to remember. She didn't end up with him? I thought she ended up with him.
I don't think so. Because that's the whole point of those
tonight,
crazy things.
Ooh,
man. You know what's weird about Wonderful Tonight?
Lots of things. I don't like that
no,
song.
No, specifically,
at all.
I can tell you what's weird about it. All is
right.
I really liked that song as a kid. Isn't that a weird song for a kid to like?
A very weird song for a kid to like.
Because it's, one, it's boring.
Patty Boyd, yes. Patty Boyd, wife of George Harrison and Eric Clapton.
Ah, he did eventually get her.
Yep.
I did not remember how that story ended.
She's a model, so she, you know, doesn't count for any musician stuff as far as I know.
Okay, but anyhow, so it's weird that I liked Wonderful Tonight as a kid because it's, one, boring, and two, it's like boring in a sort of prosaic adult way.
Yeah, I don't like that song. It's just, it's very unsubtle.
And it describes a boring adult evening.
Yeah, it really does.
So it's so weird that I liked it as a kid.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyhow.
I didn't like it as a kid. I never liked it.
I really liked it.
My mom really liked it. I heard enough of it to last me the rest of my life.
Like, when that song was on the radio, I was on board. But anyhow, Uncle Albert, Admiral Albert, Halsey, where do I stand?
Yeah.
To me, that song, you kind of really schizophrenically capture sort of the two sides of Paul. Like...
Yeah.
Because you've got...
The second half, the Admiral Halsey part is very, like...
Maxwell Silverhammer. It's Penny Lane.
Yeah.
It's that McCartney.
Yeah.
And then Uncle Albert's it's a little druggier. It's a little, like, you know, kind of more melancholy Paul. It's...
Yeah.
Amazing. I'd rather smoke drugs with Uncle Albert, but I'd... If a kid was around, I'd rather hang out with Admiral Halsey. That's how it goes.
You only smoke drugs with the... Do you smoke cocaine? I don't know how the drugs work.
You can. I mean, that's crack.
That's why it doesn't sound good.
Crack's just cocaine with some other crap in it.
Oh, well.
Just say no to crack, kids. It's just cocaine with some other crap in it.
Just a quick note. Patty Boyd's sister married Mick Fleetwood. Crazy. What are you going to do? It's a crazy world.
Rock and roll.
Stevie Nicks, Tom Petty, the Eurythmics. Well, Stevie Nicks was in Fleetwood Mac with Mick Fleetwood.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. Mark
she
Bolan.
She married a guy, and then, yeah, Mark Bolan.
Mark
he
Bolan
just, he
was there.
He doesn't fit in there at all.
I'm sure he was there.
The guy out.
I did. Completely at random.
Beck was hanging out with him. He's always doing side projects, you know. That guy from Coldplay.
He was singing just married song. To Gwyneth Paltrow now.
Hey, That's I'd be married thing. To Gwyneth Paltrow now. If I was
If you wrote Clocks. Somebody,
yeah, if I wrote Clocks. Did he write Clocks, though?
Probably.
Or did he just sing it?
I don't know.
The guy from Coldplay, who we don't know his name.
I was on the same floor freshman year with the guy who would always play that riff from Clocks on his piano.
I know, and thus you hate Clocks, which I think is unfair.
No, it's a pretty good song.
Is the recording's off, right? We're not recording, right?
No, we're still going.
I really like Coldplay. Wait, we're still going?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's out there now.
Yep. Deal with it.
I do.
We can turn it off. And
I like the Vita La Viva. I'm a Coldplay fanatic.
It was produced by Brian Eno, I think. So you've got a little bit. You can grasp
Chris Martin.
That.
That's his name. All Chris Martin in it, you know?
Pretty sure it's Admiral Halsey.
Admiral Halsey,
right?
Don't define me. He wrote all of Coldplay songs. What?
Yes.
Is that how that went?
Yes.
All right. Well, anyways...
I think we're done here.
Oh man, are we?
I think we've done what we can do.
All right, but we'll just settle this before we go off into the night.
I didn't realize we had anything left to settle. I thought we'd wrapped it all up in a nice, neat package.
It was written by looks like all four members of Coldplay, Dave. They are prolific.
All right then.
I don't know. They're a good team. I don't know. There's a comment there that fits that situation.
They took a teamwork course. They did Trust Falls.
Trust Falls. A lot of Trust Falls were involved in the writing of Clocks.
Coldplay went on a ropes course. It was sweet.
We should do that. We need team building for I'm Trying to Think.
Totally.
We're going to do some Trust Falls right after the show.
Awesome. Let's get to it.
So I hope you enjoyed episode 52 of I'm Trying to Think. I hope Dave enjoys hearing this. Yeah, it's that piano riff, Dave. You love it. Oh, lights go out and something, something, something. I don't remember the words.
Ticking All clocks, right. Chuck.
So,
ticking clocks.
Closing walls and ticking clocks, Dave. All right, well, we will see you next time for episode 53 of I'm Trying to Think. Until then, say goodnight, Dave.
Good night, folks.
You're supposed to say goodnight.
I fucked it up.
Fucked it up.
I fucked it all up. Let's go. It's a good riff. That's why it gets stuck in your head. Man, those lyrics, that's just picking phrases. Which is admittedly true of most
music. That's how all songs are written, Dave.
But like it seems like they're phrases that are not disconnected.
Only Rush doesn't write songs that way, Dave.
That's because they got a lot to say about subdivisions.
Has meaningful things to say. What else can you say?